You are 8 miles east of the field, descending through 3,000 feet on a 45 to the downwind, and you spot traffic at your 2 o'clock, same altitude, converging. You both see each other, neither one of you turns. And now you have about 40 seconds to remember a regulation you read once in ground school and probably haven't thought about since. I'm Pattern on Traffic Pattern here on Radio Hangar. And today we're going to walk through one of the most practical regulations in the entire Federal Aviation Regulations. It's the one that governs right-of-way in the air, FAR 91.113, and I promise you it is simpler than you think it is. But there are a couple of traps in it that catch people on check rides, and, more importantly, catch people in the traffic pattern. Before we dig in, a quick shout-out to our friends at AviationSoul.com. They make challenge coins for every step of the journey. First solo, private pilot, instrument rating, commercial. If you're working through your training right now, those milestones deserve to be marked. AviationSoul.com. All right, let's start with the big picture. FAR 91.113 is titled Right-of-Way Rules, and it lays out a pecking order for who gives way to whom when two aircraft are in potential conflict. The beauty of this regulation is that it works like a hierarchy. Once you learn the order, you can answer almost any scenario the examiner throws at you. Here's something I wish someone told me when I was training. The hierarchy is built on vulnerability. The less maneuverable or more constrained an aircraft is, the more right of way it gets. Once that clicks, you don't have to memorize the list. You just think about who's in the tighter spot. So here's the order. At the very top, an aircraft in distress. If someone has declared an emergency, everyone else yields, period. No exceptions. That one is intuitive. Next down, a balloon. Yes. A hot air balloon has the right of way over almost everything. Why? Because a balloon pilot cannot steer. They go where the wind takes them. They can go up and down, but laterally, they are at the mercy of the atmosphere. So you give way to them because they literally cannot get out of your way. After balloons, a glider. A glider has no engine. It cannot add power and climb to avoid you. It is always descending relative to the air mass, unless it is in a thermal or on a ridge. So a glider gets right-of-way over powered aircraft, then an airship, which is a dirigible. You probably will not encounter one of these on your average Tuesday afternoon, but it is in the regulation, and the examiner knows it's there. After that, aircraft towing or refueling other aircraft. A tow plane with a glider on a rope or a tanker in a refueling operation. They're constrained, they can't make aggressive turns, they get priority, and then at the bottom, powered fixed-wing airplanes and helicopters, that's us. We are the most maneuverable, most powered, most flexible aircraft in the sky, and so we yield to everyone above us on the list. Now, here's where it gets practical for your daily flying. Most of the time, you're not going to encounter a balloon or a glider at your home airport. Most of the time, the right-of-way question comes down to two powered airplanes converging, and that's where the specific rules within 91.113 come into play. Let's walk through this together. Scenario 1, head-on, two aircraft are approaching each other on roughly the same course, nose to nose. The rule says each pilot shall alter course to the right. Both of you, not one of you, both, you turn right. They turn right and you pass left to left. Think of it like two cars on a narrow road with no center line. You both drift to your right. Here's the trap though. This assumes you see each other. The regulation doesn't save you if you're staring at your kneeboard. The head-on rule is only useful if you're actually scanning. And on the check ride, the examiner will ask you what you'd do in a head-on scenario. The answer is each pilot turns right, not I'd climb or I'd descend. The published standard is right scenario 2, converging. This is the one that comes up the most in general aviation, especially around untowered airports. Two aircraft approaching at approximately the same altitude, and your courses are converging. The aircraft on the right has the right of way. The one on the left gives way. Think of it like a four-way intersection with no stop sign. Car on the right goes first. Same concept. So if you're flying northeast and you see traffic off your right side flying northwest toward you at the same altitude, that traffic has the right of way. You alter your course. You go behind them. You do not try to speed up and beat them. You do not climb over them. You alter course to pass behind them or well clear. Now, a subtlety here, the regulation says, the pilot of the aircraft that has the right of way shall maintain heading and speed. This is important. If you have the right of way, don't start maneuvering randomly. Hold your course so the other pilot can predict where you're going to be. If both aircraft start turning, You get into that awkward dance where nobody knows what the other person is doing, and that's how mid-airs happen. Scenario 3. Overtaking. You're faster than the aircraft in front of you and you're closing from behind. The overtaking aircraft, that's you, must give way by altering course to the right. The slower aircraft being overtaken has the right of way and should hold its course. This one catches people because your instinct might be to pass on the left, but the regulation says right. And the regulation defines overtaking broadly. If you're approaching from more than 70 degrees behind the other aircraft's course line, you're overtaking. That's a wide cone, basically, if you're coming up from behind them at all. It's an overtake. Scenario 4. Landing. This is where the stakes get real. An aircraft on final approach, or one that is landing, has the right of way over all other aircraft, in flight or on the ground. If two aircraft are both approaching to land, the one at the lower altitude has the right of way. But, and this is a big but, the regulation specifically says that the lower aircraft shall not take advantage of this rule to cut in front of or overtake the aircraft on final. This is the one I see abused the most at busy, untowered fields. Someone in a faster airplane swoops in below the Cessna on a half-mile final and claims they had right of way because they were lower. No, you cannot use the altitude rule as an excuse to cut someone off. If another aircraft is established on final and you dive below them, you are the problem. The regulation was designed to protect the aircraft closest to landing, not to reward aggressive flying. And while we're talking about landing, the regulation also says you cannot land if you see another aircraft on the runway unless you have adequate separation. This sounds obvious, but watch any busy untowered field on a nice Saturday morning and you will see people putting it on the rollout while the airplane ahead of them is still on the runway. The examiner is looking for you to go around if there is any doubt about separation. Scenario 5. The runway and taxiway. On the ground, aircraft being taxied have to give way to aircraft taking off and landing. If you're taxiing and an airplane is rolling out on the runway, you hold. And when two aircraft are taxiing and they're converging, the one on the right has the right of way. Same as the air rule, right gets priority. Now let me give you the most commonly missed detail in this entire regulation. Paragraph A, the first sentence. It says that the rules apply when weather conditions permit, regardless of whether the flight is conducted under instrument flight rules or visual flight rules. This means right-of-way rules are always active in visual conditions. You don't get to ignore them because you're on an IFR flight plan. If you can see the traffic, these rules apply to you. And the very last piece. The regulation says nothing in this section gives the right-of-way aircraft permission to disregard the need for caution. Having the right-of-way does not mean you fly blissfully ahead while the other pilot sorts it out. You still have a responsibility to maneuver if a collision is imminent. Right-of-way is a rule of first resort. Collision avoidance is the rule of last resort, and last resort always wins. The examiner is looking for a couple of things when they test you on this. They want to hear the hierarchy. Distress, balloon, glider, airship, towing, then powered aircraft. They want to hear the converging rule. Aircraft on the right goes first. They want to hear the head-on rule. Both turn right. They want to hear the overtaking rule. Pass to the right. And they want to hear the landing rule. Lower aircraft has right of way but cannot cut in front. But what the examiner really wants to know is whether you understand this well enough to apply it in real time at 110 knots with someone converging on your right and the runway in sight. That means you need to have this stuff wired in before you're in the pattern, not looking it up on your kneeboard. Here's a scenario I want you to sit with. You're entering the pattern at an untowered field on a 45 to the downwind for runway 27. There's a piper ahead of you on the downwind, and you're closing on them because you're in something a little faster. There's also a bonanza on a wide right base that looks like they're going to turn final about the same time the piper does. And now someone announces a straight in for 27 3 miles out. Who has right of way? Well, the piper is ahead of you on the downwind. You are overtaking, you yield. The bonanza on base and the piper on downwind are converging, and right of way goes to whoever ends up on final first at a lower altitude, but nobody should be cutting in front. The straight in traffic is legal but is the least established in the pattern, and common practice, though not strictly in the regulation, favors aircraft already in the pattern. There is no single clean answer, that's the point. The regulation gives you the framework, judgment fills in the rest. And the judgment answer in that scenario is usually to extend your downwind, let the traffic sort out, and land safely behind everyone. So here's my challenge for you. Before your next flight, pull up FAR 91.113, read it once, top to bottom. it's about a page, then sit in your car at the airport and watch the traffic for 15 minutes. Watch the converging courses, the overtakes, the final approach sequencing. See if you can spot the regulation playing out in real time. It will stick with you a lot better than reading it on a screen. Today's walkthrough came from the Federal Aviation Regulations Part 91 and the Aeronautical Information Manual. Both are free, and both are worth rereading more often than we do. You can find more episodes at RadioHangar.com/fly. Like the other pilot hasn't read the reg, because half the time they haven't. See you next time.